ॐ भद्रं कर्णेभिः शृणुयाम देवाः भद्रं पश्येम अक्षभिर्यजत्राः स्थिरैरङ्गैस्तुष्टुवांसस्तनूभिः व्यसेम देवहिदं यदायुः स्वस्ति न इन्द्रो वृद्धश्रवाः स्वस्ति नः पूषा विश्ववेदाः स्वस्ति नस्तार्क्ष्यो अरिष्टनेमिः स्वस्ति नो बृहस्पतिर्दधातु। ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः। ॐ भद्रं कर्णेभिः शृणुयाम देवाः भद्रं पश्येम अक्षभिर्यजत्राः स्थिरैरङ्गैस्तुष्टुवांसस्तनूभिः व्यसेम देवहिदं यदायुः स्वस्ति न इन्द्रो वृद्धश्रवाः स्वस्ति नः पूषा विश्ववेदाः स्वस्ति नस्तार्क्ष्योऽरिष्टनेमिः स्वस्ति नो बृहस्पतिर्दधात्। ओ आल्माइटी लॉर्ड, लेट अस बी केपेबल ऑफ परफॉर्मिंग सैक्रिफाइसेस एंड हियर ऑस्पिशियस साउंड्स विद आवर ईयर्स एंड सी ऑस्पिशियस फॉर्म्स विद आवर आईज। With strong and steady limbs and body and remaining prayerful, let us spend our God-given life directing our mind, intellect and the senses towards auspicious things. Om peace, peace, peace. Last time we were dealing with the 16th verse of the 3rd chapter of the Mandukya Karika. In this 16th verse, Gaudapada says, different spiritual seekers qualified for different asamas are of three levels of comprehension. Those who are not well developed, the low one, the middle and high. This discipline of meditation has been presented by the scriptures out of compassion for those who have not reached the highest level of spiritual fitness. In this Karika, in the 16th, it was pointed out that the creation text, that means statements which describe creation, do not contradict Advaita. In this Karika, it's also stated that the Shruti text prescribing worship, meditation, rituals, etc. are also not contradicting the non-dualistic philosophy. In the next verse, the teacher tells us that the dualists are firmly set in arranging their doctrines, and they contradict one another, because so long as we believe that our own path is right, our own doctrines are the only right doctrines, we are prone to contradict and coming in conflict with people, with other schools of thought who hold similar views. So the 17th verse is this: So siddhanta vivasthasu dvaitino nischida dridham parasparam viruddhyanti taihi ayam na viruddhyati. The prose order is something like this: So siddhanta vivasthasu dridham nischidaha dvaitinaha परस्परं विरुध्यन्ते अयं तैः na viruddhyat. Here, the word dvaitin is used not to denote the school of Madhva philosophy, because Madhva school emerged only more than 500 years after Gaudapada wrote this work. Mostly he is dealing with the Mimamsaka, Sankhyas, some schools of Jainas, Bauddhas, and so on. The views of the dualists are not correct because they are tainted with the defects of inordinate attachment and hatred. And because these dualists are firmly fixed in laying down rules for sitting for their conclusions, they follow the views and tenets taught by Kapila, the exponent of Sankhya philosophy, Kanada, the school of Vaisheshika philosophy, and different schools of later Buddhism, and also the tenets of the Jainas. Because they believe that their own view is ultimate reality, their own view alone is the only correct view. All other views are wrong. This is the basis of doctrinal fanaticism, because they think that their own religious tradition is the only correct religious tradition. Now, there are different levels in our spiritual evolution. As we grow in spiritual life, we evolve from gross to subtle, from external to internal, and from many to one. As he said in the famous devotional classic, in the Bhagavata Purana, in the 11th skandha, it is stated, the highest and noblest devotee is one who sees in himself the presence of the Lord, and who sees the presence of the Lord in the whole creation, and who experiences the presence of the whole creation in God Himself. The one who sees non-difference has reached the level of non-dualistic experience. Here, Shankaracharya has written a celebrated commentary. I shall try to give a brief description of the commentary. Susiddhanta vivasthasu, susiddhanta rachana niyameshu, kapila, kanada, buddha, arkhatadi, drishtyanusarino, duitino nischitaha. Shankara says, the dualists who are the followers of Kapila, Kanada, Buddha, Arkada, and others are firmly established in the basic principles that lead to their own doctrines. Because they believe that the reality is more than one. At the same time, they also believe that their path alone is the right path leading to that absolute reality. So, they are very firmly established in the basic principles that lead them to their achievement, the ultimate goal. They declare the supreme truth can be this alone and not anything else. Shankara says, Ivameva esha paramartho na anyatha iti tatra tatra anirektaha pratipaksham cha atmanaha pasyantastam dishanta ittevam ragadveshopetaha susiddhanta darshana nimittam eva parasparam anyunyam viruddhyanti. They are so closely attached to their own doctrines, to their own conclusions, that when they see their opponents, they come into conflict with them. Too much of obsession to one's own ideas, one's own path, leads to attachment. And this attachment creates aversion and hatred of all other paths and doctrines. In this way, they become possessed of attachment to their own doctrine and aversion and hatred of all other doctrines. And with a view to safeguarding their conclusions, they come into conflict with one another. In this text, Atma is to be seen the Dhyana Vidhi. Gaudapada means this Atman can be realized only through the Advaitic path, and that realization gives us a sense of broad-mindedness, a comprehensive outlook, and it enables us to look upon the entire creation as our own spiritual family. One cannot fail to recognize the relevance of this great doctrine and its importance in this age, which is witnessing a gradual radicalization of religious ideas and increasing senseless violence in the name of religious faith. It was this Advaitic idea that Swami Vivekananda brought to America in an age when Marx and Engels, Darwin and his band of evolutionists, as well as the new discoveries in science and technology, were challenging the claims of organized religion. This non-dualistic philosophy, which enables us to look upon other paths and other views as non-different from ourselves, is the highest ethical philosophy. But because normally when we talk about ethics, we talk about the transcendental origin of ethical philosophy, But there, an ethical philosophy in organized monotheistic religions is not always satisfactory, because it could not satisfactorily explain the incompatibility between a kind and compassionate God and a cruel world full of misery. But Shankaracharya, in his commentary, makes an important statement. He says, this Advaita philosophy has no quarrel with anyone, just as we cannot quarrel with our own body. Our right hand cannot quarrel with our left hand. So, also, we cannot quarrel with any other tradition, because there is no otherness in non-dualistic philosophy. Shankara continues, Taihi anyoni virodhibhi asmadiyoyam vaitikaha sarva ananyatvad atmaigatva darshana paksho na viruddhyate yatha suhasta padadibhi evam ragadveshadi dosha anaspadatvad atmaigatva buddhireva samyak darshanam iti abhiprayaha. The great teacher, commentator Shankara, says, the other parts are non-different from ours. And therefore, this non-dualistic philosophy does not get into conflict with other views. They mutually oppose among themselves, but the non-dualists have no quarrel with other views. Just as one does not come into conflict with one's own hands. In a well-known statement, one of the Tikakaras, in one of the super commentaries, there is a statement, Yatha suhasta padadibhihi kadachit aghate krite vidveshu na jayate parabuddhi abhavat sarva ananyatvat ityartha. Again, another important point to be remembered is that Advaita is not just a belief in a doctrine, but it is the intuitive experience of the presence of the immanent reality residing in all beings. And as we realize it, we will discover that Advaitic practice is a pilgrimage towards our own true nature. We are not making a new discovery. We are self-discovering our own true nature. It is not a new knowledge coming from outside, but it is just removal of ignorance, as we already explained in the rope snake analogy. When the light is brought into a room which is dimly, which doesn't have enough light, the light doesn't produce the rope, the light only removes darkness which stood as an obstacle. In our understanding, that it is not a snake, but it is a rope. When the light is brought, darkness vanishes, and then the rope reveals itself. Similarly, elsewhere the great commentator says, Shastram tu jnana nivartakam na jnana pravartakam. books do not give us knowledge, but books remove ignorance. And when ignorance is removed, knowledge dawns upon us by itself. In other words, Advaita, in actual experience, is the discovery of our own true nature. The knowledge that is already within, the knowledge doesn't come from outside, it is already within. That's why Swami Vivekananda defined religion as the manifestation of divinity already in man. It is already there within us, it doesn't come from outside. And when we realize our true nature, we will realize that we are the divine, non-dual, impersonal principle within. And we also realize that the same reality pervades everywhere. It is all pervading, omnipresent. It is also the transcendental principle. So as we become more and more spiritual, we become more and more humane, we also become more broad-minded, and we will transcend the feeling of otherness. We can look upon other people and their views as non-different from ourselves. The reality is one, but the means to realize this truth could be many. The ideal of unity with regard to goal and diversity with regard to the means. Means could be different, but goal is the same. Any spiritual seeker who reaches this level of experience becomes broad-minded and can never hate another person's doctrines or ideas. This gives complete freedom with regard to faith, religion, and spiritual practices. That's why Swami Vivekananda once mentioned, Advaita is the highest ethical philosophy that we can conceive of. The infinite oneness of the soul is the eternal sanction of all morality, all ethics, and all good actions. This was, from a doctrinal point of view, the basis of Swami Vivekananda's ideal of universal religion. And that was why when Vivekananda came to America, great thinkers like Nikola Tesla, William Thompson, Sarah Bernhardt, Madame Calvey, and several others found in him not just a champion of one religion, but a prophet of universal spirituality. Swamiji also says in one context that we want to lead humanity to the place where there is neither the Vedas, Bible, and Quran. Yet this has to be done by harmonizing the Vedas, the Bible, and the Quran. Let some of you spread these truths and then preach the worship, the universal aspect of God, that the reality is universal, it is immanent and transcendental and omnipresent. That will put an end to conflicts and quarrels in the name of religion and God. This is the highest ethical philosophy that we can think of, and it goes beyond other ethical doctrines which are based on fear of God, because an ethical philosophy which presents itself as fear of God as the basis of morality cannot satisfy an atheist who doesn't believe in God and who may not mind going to hell. But the Advaita teaches us that by hurting another person, we are spiritually hurting ourselves. By injuring another person, we are injuring ourselves. We cannot injure, we cannot hurt anyone without hurting ourselves. This is the philosophical basis of Advaitic morality. Now we'll go to the next verse. In the 18th verse, Gaudapada asserts again that Advaita is the only ultimate truth. Yet remember, as I said earlier, Gaudapada doesn't say that other parts are all wrong when he uses the word that non-dualistic ideals are wrong. What he means is that they are only partial descriptions of the reality. As Swami Vivekananda said, we are not traveling from error to truth, but we are traveling from truth that's lower to truth that's higher. So in the 18th verse, Advaitam paramarthohi dvaitam tad bheda ucchade tesham upayatha dvaitam tenayam naviruchyade. The prose order is this: Advaitam paramarthaha hi dvaitam tad bheda tesham upayatha dvaitam tena ayam naviruchyade. Gaudapada says, non-duality is the supreme reality, and the dualistic ideas constitutes its product. In fact, those who believe in Dvaita believe that Dvaita itself is the real and also the unreal. Why does the non-dualist not pick up quarrel with the dualists? The reason is given here. That's Shankara's view. The reason is that Advaita is the absolute reality, and multiplicity or Dvaita is considered to be only an effect, a bheda or karya of Advaita. And he quotes the famous verse, ekameva dvaitam ekameva dvitiyam tattejo asrichata, etc. Here there is an objection raised by non-dualists. The objection is this: The conflict of Advaita and Dvaita is apparent on the very face of it, as one deals with non-duality, the other with duality. How do you say that they do not come into conflict? The idea is this. Advaita is the absolutely real truth. But for dualists, the dualistic truth is perceived as the absolute and also in the relative sense, in worldly dealings. Advaitins say, the common sense experience that we have in this dualistic world, in our normal life situations, is the relative, the vyavaharika. And Advaitic truth is realized when we transcend this vyavaharika and reach the paramarthika. The Advaitins say what the Advaitins are talking about is right, but right only in the relative sense. Because Dvaita, or the dualistic reality, is the effect of Advaita. Effect cannot be different from cause. The effect is not different from cause. And cause alone is the absolute reality. The effect is only another aspect of the cause. This is Chandogya Upanishad says, Vacharambhanam vikaro namadheyam vrittigirteva satyam. The pots and pans and different utensils made of clay are not different from clay. They are the same substance as the clay. They appear to be different. When they assume different forms and different names, the pots and pans made of clay may appear to be different. But this difference is confined to the vyavaharika level, the empirical level. In essence, they are the same as the clay, because before the pot maker made these utensils, they were clay, and when he breaks them, they again turn back to clay. And when they are sitting in front of us as utensils, then also they are clay. Therefore, for Advaitins, the non-dual truth alone is the absolute reality, and there is nothing else. From 19 verse onwards, some of these ideas are repeated again and again. And a detailed discussion of these verses will make sense only if we study with Shankara's commentary, which is beyond the scope of this class right now. The 19th verse says, Mayaya vidyate hyetat anyatha ajam kathanchana tattudo vidyamanehi martyadam amrutam bhavet. Etat Mayaya hi vidyate ajam anyatha kathanchana na vidyate hi tattutaha vidyamani amrutam martyadam vrajet. Ajam, the unborn, the absolute reality, that is the absolute reality according to Advaita philosophy, non-dualistic philosophy, becomes modified through Maya, which means it doesn't really become modified, it appears to have become modified. Because if we really believe that Brahman becomes this world, it will become Parinamavada, which is accepted by the Sankhya philosophers, with some modification by the school of Bhakta Prapancha, and also by the Ramanujite school, though with some difference. Therefore, the unbound absolute reality appears to have become this relative universe and individual jivas through Maya alone, which means it is only an apparent transformation, not real transformation. If it were real transformation, then it should be different from its cause. Just as oil should be looked upon as different from the seed from which the oil is made. But the pots and pans which are made of clay really are clay only, because if you break them, they go back to clay. So the name and form are only creating an apparent change, not real change. Sometimes opponents could ask us questions. If Advaita is modified Dvaita, then like the Dvaita, Advaita, rather, if Advaita is modified as Dvaita, then just like Advaita, Dvaita also can claim to be the absolute reality. But there is a difference, as I said earlier, that Dvaitins believe in Parinama, and in Parinama, if you accept the Parinama Vada, you have to accept that the evolute and also the substance from which the evolute comes both belong to two different levels of reality. Just as seed and also the oil which is extracted from the seed belong to the same reality, both are equally real in the relative sense. But the snake and the rope belong to two different levels of reality. The rope is only an appearance, sorry, the rope is the reality, snake is only an appearance. The snake exists only in the onlooker's mind. The snake really doesn't exist. Snake exists only as a snake idea. The person may have seen the snake in the zoo or somewhere else outside, and when he sees in front of him a piece of rope which resembles a snake in shape and size, he mistakes the rope for the snake. The snake idea exists only in mind, and it goes away. It is removed the moment the light is brought. But the rope remains the same. The rope belongs to Vyavahariga, the relative, and a snake is only a just a thought or an idea. It is called Pratibhasika Satta. So the Advaitins replies this. The objection raised by the Advaitin that Dvaita also has a claim for the ultimate reality can be justified only if the Dvaitins accept Vivartavada, but they do not accept Vivartavada. Vivartavada means illusory modification, the doctrine of illusory or apparent modification. The Dvaitins do not accept Vivartavada, they accept Parinamavada, the real modification theory. So, the commentator says, all dualistic experience is illusory, like an erroneous perception of two moons due to some problem with the eyes. The same idea is repeated in the next few verses till we come to another important verse. The same idea continues. That is from 19 to 25th verse. The simple point is this. Wherever you find statements in the Upanishadic texts which explain creation of the universe, those statements should be taken only in a relative sense and not in an absolute sense. Because the central theme of the Vedantic text is Atman, the reality which is unborn and which is immanent and all pervading. That is the central theme, the central topic of all Upanishadic texts. And wherever you find any statement which appears to describe creation or duality, those statements should not be taken as primary statements. They should be taken only as secondary statements. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti. Hari Om Tat Sat. Siddhamakshana Panamastu.